Today, I'm going to be talking about an area I think is very important. I think one of the biggest areas of disagreement and challenges for Christians is because of the inability to agree on certain issues. How many of you realize not everybody agrees about everything? Is that a shocker, right? Not one at all. But because there are disagreements amongst people that go to church that call themselves believers, how many of you know those issues have caused church splits? They've called because they couldn't agree. Or even, this has happened, and probably you've had that happen to you, where people who were once in a close relationship, because you didn't have an agreement on something, they've split and you no longer speak to them or they no longer speak to you, right? These things happen. There are many things in the Bible that are very black and white. Amen? Like, does anybody have any question on when God says, thou shalt not kill, does that mean that I can go pop off a cap at somebody? Right. That's a black and white command there. What about this? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that any question on, oh, but that might be my soulmate. I don't know. No, it's very black and white, right? What about this one? Don't worship idols. Listen, if you go eat Chinese food and you pick up the Buddha that is at there and you bring it to your house and you put it on a pedestal and you start putting fruit and whatnot, how many of you know that's black and white? You don't do that, right? We understand those. There's things that are very black and white. What about this one right here, James 4:10? Brothers, do not slander one another. I know that's kind of hard to understand, right? But basically, don't speak badly about another believer. How many of you know the church would be a whole lot different and a lot better if we would just simply apply this right here? Amen? Amen? Right? Everybody's like, oh man, I was just talking about you. No, I'm just kidding. We understand. We need to apply that. And listen, I could read so many different passages that give us very clear, very direct, no doubt what you should do verses. Like God says do this, God says don't do that. When those verses that we deal with, we choose whether to obey them or we choose to disobey them, and I hope that if you disobey it, you understand the consequences. Amen? There are consequences there. There are blessings when we choose to follow God's word. So we understand that, but what about the things in the Bible that the Bible does not specifically address? What do we do in those areas? There are issues that you can't find a verse that says, thus saith the Lord. Like, oh God, what do I do in that? It would be awesome if every issue was addressed in our world, but it's just simply not the truth, is it? Let me give you some examples. How many of you know there's nothing in the Bible that talks about prescription drug abuse? Why is that? Because there was no prescription drugs back then. It didn't exist. That wasn't an issue. How about this one? There is no Bible verse that you can find on people ranting on social media. There's nothing right there. There's no Bible verse that says, thou shalt not post thy mean, angry opinions on Facebook and then tell people that you're a Christian at the same time. Right? You're not going to find it. There's no verse in the Bible that says, Christians, you should not view internet pornography. Why? Because there was no internet back then. That stuff didn't exist. The Bible doesn't address what kind of programs or movies you should watch or that you shouldn't watch. And so there are areas of the Bible that don't address things, and that's where a lot of times arguments, fighting, and sometimes confusions happen. Some people, I don't know if anybody in here, but maybe there were. Some people were raised in a home when television came out. There were some Christians that felt that was sin. Right? How many of you know? Yeah, oh man, it was like the devil box or something. I don't know. Like, you can't put one of those in there. It's just allowing the world to pull everything into your life. There were people that grew up where you were not allowed to go to movies. Movies were evil. They were sinful. And if Jesus came back while you were in the movie, you got left behind. Like, I'm not even kidding there. Some of you guys grew up whenever, you can't go to the roller skating rink. Ooh, sinful. Or bowling. How many of you, come on, somebody with some hands, you heard about bowling alleys, right? That's where all the sin happens, right, at the bowling alley. Now, our friend that pastors up in, I don't know how he's dealing with this, up in Paradise, they bought the bowling alley after the Paradise fire went out, and they're having services there, and it's like, how can you be in a bowling alley and worship God? Or here's a biggie. When I became a Christian in the early 80s, Christian rock music was starting. I stopped listening to the music I did and started listening, and I started hearing how evil and satanic Christian rock music was. Come on, how many of you have heard that same thing, right? Back especially when that was all coming out. And that was their conviction. Some people believe that Christians, you better not be on Snapchat. Better not be on TikTok. You know what? That's evil, right? Christians fight over politics. Surprise, surprise. Some people say that women wearing makeup and jewelry is a sin. Oh, you sinners, right? Now, let me tell you, I've been on Facebook. You guys have too. Some of you guys have. I've seen posts that claim that if you take the COVID vaccine, then you're letting the devil himself into your body, right? But then I've also seen, these from Christians, I've also seen posts that say, if you don't take the COVID vaccine, then you're disobeying God because you don't love your neighbor. Ow, right? I mean, these are the people argue. Oh, should you go to church on Sunday? Do you got to go on Saturday? Social drinking, is that okay? How far is too far? How about this one? What version of the Bible do you use? Ow, right? Like, let me just show of hands. How many of you guys got saved reading King James Bible? A number of you guys. Can I tell you, when I got saved, the Bible I had was the NIV. I accepted the Lord through an NIV. Wow, isn't it amazing that whatever version you use, and I know I've heard all of this, it's like, well, you know what, if the King James was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. But we argue over those things. I have my opinion. Well, the NIV doesn't say this. Well, the New Living says that. Well, this says that. And let me tell you, God's word is a lot bigger than your version. Amen. God knows how to know. Yes, we give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. So, and here's the thing. It's easy to know the right things when the Bible specifically addresses it. It's a little bit more difficult to make those decisions when it's not super clear about it. And so there's so many different opinions, and it's not always clear if something is right or is it wrong. Is it black or is it white or is it a gray area? And so that's why we're talking about that. Some churches have resolved this tension by creating a list of do's and don'ts. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. And if you'll follow that, then you're going to make it to heaven. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Some people love lists. Like, how many of you guys go to the grocery store with a list? We go with the grocery store with a list. How many of you get more than that's on your list? Oh, yeah, hands are up, right? Here's the thing. How many of you have had a list and you forgot something on your list? Can I just say, lists don't always work. And especially when it comes to serving God. Can I give you an example? When God established the first covenant with Moses, he gave them a list, didn't he? What do we call that list? Ten Commandments, right? Now, let me just give you a verse. Let me set the scene. God was saying for the Israelites to come up and listen. They were scared. They didn't want to hear the voice of God. So this is what they said in Deuteronomy 5:27. Go yourself, Moses. They're like, Moses, you go up there and listen to what the Lord God says. Then come down and tell us everything. Basically, give us the list, and we will listen and obey. Now, if you've read any more of the Old Testament, did they do this? No, that's why they went into exile. That's why all of these invading armies. And so they had a list. And let me just say, it didn't work then. And I want to tell you today, it's not going to work today. It's just not going to work. And so I want to kind of bring back a point that I made last week concerning holiness. And if you happen to miss last week, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it because it's so important in our life. But this was one of the points I mentioned. Holiness is a choice that is determined by, everybody say this, relationship, not rules. Why is that so? Because if you're depending on a list of rules, what are you going to do whenever you hit one of those gray areas that the Bible's not completely clear about? Oh man, what's the rule? I don't know what the rule is. How am I going to do that? But if we have relationship with God, what does the Bible say? That the Holy Spirit will guide us into most truth. No, all truth, right? If I have my relationship with God, if I'm in God's Word and I'm communing with God, that when these gray areas come along, because of my relationship, God is going to direct me. Right. Amen? So it's not about the rules. It's like, I got to make sure my relationship is right. Amen? Amen. So I'm not going to give you a list of rules. I'm not going to do that. The early church, can I just say this? The early church struggled with the same things that you and I struggle with today, right? They had struggles with different choices. They had struggles with different opinion. And we're going to talk about that out of Romans chapter 14. We're going to get into this because he addressed some issues, and I think it will give us a sense on how we should operate today. How are we going to move forward? But before I get into that chapter, I want to kind of give you guys a little bit of a background. Because what was going on in the early church right back then, the church was arguing about what kind of meat was acceptable to eat. And we think, well, that's kind of crazy, but we didn't live back then. Why was that an issue? Because some of the Jews, even though they accepted Jesus as the Messiah, they still followed the strict dietary laws of the Old Testament. And other people viewed that as like, you know what, we don't have to do that anymore, because if you read in Acts where Peter had a vision, all of these animals came down that were clean and unclean, and God told him to eat, and he's like, Lord, I'm not going to eat that because nothing unclean has ever touched my lips. Then God said, you know what, don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. So people are like, score, I can eat bacon now, right? And so they had the ones that were still following it, the other ones that didn't. The Gentiles mocked the Jews for claiming this special holiness based on what they're eating. They ate whatever tasted good, right? They're like, bacon, you know what? Ham, it's coming up Thanksgiving time. I'm going to have some ham, right? A honey-baked ham on top of that. How many of you know that's a spiral-cut honey-baked ham? Anybody getting hungry yet? Anyway. Pork chops, whatever, BLT. But here's the thing that made it even more difficult back then was not just their dietary thing. Many of the animals, actually most of the meat that was sold in the marketplace, had already been offered to an idol as a sacrifice. So they offered the cow, the pig, whatever it was, and then they took the meat from that and sold it in the marketplace. And that really bothered a lot of people. Some of the Christians thought, it's okay to eat that meat because we don't believe in that idol anyway. It's not even real. I'm not even following after that, so I'm going to eat it. However, others thought, this is very wrong. We can't eat this meat because it was offered to a pagan god. You can't do that. And so there was the rub that was going on there. And let me just say this. Food was not their only issue that they had disagreed about. They disagreed about the Sabbath. What day do we worship on? And Saturday, do we do it on Sunday? They disagreed about festivals. They disagreed about holy days. Which one should we do? What should we not do? And all of these issues threatened to divide the church. And let me just take you back to this time of the church. There was intense persecution going on in the church. People were dying because of their faith in Jesus. And you would think whenever that's happening, people would unite. But yet, even though persecution, they were being divided over holidays, festivals, and food. How many of you know? Sounds a little familiar. Amen? Today, we argue about different things. Like, when was the last time you went into the grocery store and said, you know, I need the meat that's not been offered to an idol? Right? You're not going to go into any grocery store and find meat offered to an idol, at least not like Safeway or one of those. So that's not really the issue. So we argue about different things today, but if we consider the issues that are dividing the church today, it's very similar to what was going on in Paul's time. And so I want to focus on Romans 14. There's other places that talk about it, but I want to start with verse 12 right here. It says, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. I just want to stop right there because the first thing that I want to, in your fill-in in your notes, I'm going to answer to God. How many of you know you don't get to skip this part? Every one of us are going to give a personal account to God someday. Someday we're going to stand before Him. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Christ that we're not going to have to face the penalty of our sin that's already been covered? But for those people that like to blame all of their actions and everything on their mother, their dad, their environment, you know what, I was raised in this is what everything. Can I just say this, that God is not a part of the woke culture? Right? Right? No, God is above that. And what we need to, before we even get into this, we need to understand that every one of us are going to give an account for our actions, for the words that we speak, for the choices, for the decisions that you and I make. We cannot avoid this truth. We've got to realize it's going to happen. So he says that, and then he goes on to say this in 13, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Boom, right? And okay, now let me give you clarity, because he's saying this in the context of different people having different opinions on what to eat, what holidays. Because we live in a world today where everybody says this phrase, don't judge me. How many of you have heard that, right? Don't raise your hand if you said, don't judge me. When you hear that, most of the time, that's usually translate means you need to approve of my lifestyle. You need to approve of my sin. Don't judge me. Don't tell me what to do. If I want to steal this, I'm going to steal it. You know what? I just feel like I need to steal it, right? That's not what it is. The idea is not telling other people to stop judging me. The idea is that I need to stop judging. Amen. How many of you know we like to point to others and tell them, this is what you need to do? No, I need to stop in this area of different opinions and different things. I need to take that. When it comes to the gray areas in the scripture, I need to listen. I need to talk to God. I don't need to talk to others about it. Amen? So with that, I think he's basically saying, don't look down on, don't criticize, and don't condemn others when their opinion is different than yours. When their opinion is different. Yes, there are the black and white areas, but these gray areas, people have got opinions all over the place. How many of you know this point would have been great for the last 18 months in the church? Am I right? You know, and I'm just going to be honest. It's embarrassing what I've seen in the church in the last 18 months. When our country needs Jesus more than anything else, we're too busy focusing on and pushing our opinion and our criticism and all of that. And we need to be telling people about Jesus. Amen? Amen? So here's the thing. I'm just going to apply it a couple of different areas. Don't look down, criticize, or condemn others when their politics are different than yours. What? Don't look down, criticize. And anyway, I'm not going to get in that. Anyway, don't look down, criticize, or condemn others when their opinion about face masks and vaccines are different than yours. Amen? Don't make angry posts questioning people's salvation. Oh, you must not even be saved if you believe this. If that's your idea, don't leave a church just because they don't agree with you. Right? Why would we do that? What does he say? Don't do that, but instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. How many of you, that's a choice that we have to make. What is a stumbling block? I know this is very deep here, but it's something that causes you to stumble. Right? I know, wow, that earth-breaking. In the Greek, that actually means, sometimes we have our opinions that can be laid down in front of other people, and it causes their faith to stumble. We shouldn't be like that. That's not what God, and what we need to understand is that, yes, we are responsible and accountable to God, amen? But do you realize we are also responsible to each other? Look over at your neighbor. I don't do this all the time. Look over at your neighbor and say, I'm responsible for you. Yeah. Sabrina looked at her dad. You are responsible for me, right? It's your fault, JR. So here's the thing. Instead of judging others, what do we need to do? Respect, honor, and support their convictions. And can I say this? Even if you don't agree with them. Even if you don't agree with them. We're not going to agree on everything. How many of you know that is a big surprise? We've got however many people in this service from our first service, there is not 100% agreement. How many of you know, even in your own home, you can't always get 100% agreement? It's just not going to happen. It's not going to be a reality. But you know what? Even though there are different opinions in church, in the church down the street, in your own home, how many of you know, I can still respect and honor and support you? I know it's like today, it's like, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to defriend you on Facebook. Wash my hands of you. What? That's sad, right? Listen, you may not agree on everything, but instead of fighting and acting like fools, can I just say that? We need to express the love of Christ. Now listen, don't get mad at me because I'm going to tell you something. You may never have heard this before, but your opinion might be wrong. I know. Shocker, right? The possibility is actually out there that your opinion may not be right. And I know, but my opinion is so informed because I've done this. This has been a key word over the last 18 months. I've done the research. How many of you know, how many of you have heard that? Don't tell me, raise your hand if you've said it. How many of you know what that translated means is I've watched 15 YouTube videos and I've been perusing through Facebook. That's my research. Come on. I'm just telling you like it is, because you can do research like that on any topic and it will confirm any view that you want to have. Pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine, pro-mask, anti-mask. I've done the research. No, I've done the research, but but my research isn't like your research. And it's like, it depends on what video you watch. Am I right? Yep. So here's the thing. Your opinion may not be best. Listen, if you get anything out of this, I hope you get that. Here's the key. You know what your opinion is? Your opinion. Right? That's it. And I can just tell you, the older I get, the more I realize, and my wife took notes on this earlier, so I already busted myself out. But the older I get, the more I realize that my way is not always the best way. I know. That was hard for me to realize. My way isn't always the right way. My way is simply my way. I know. I'm just being very basic here. And there's nothing that says my way is better than your way. There's always different ways. How many of you have heard the phrase, my way or the
highway?
How many of you know sometimes the highway is the better choice? Amen. It's like, okay, your way or the highway? Well, I guess I'm getting on Interstate 5. Getting on 50, whatever it is. So that's just a reality. We need to understand our opinion is just our opinion. No matter how right you feel, I know this is a shocker too. I've had some very strong opinions only to find out later in life that I was wrong. That's humbling.
Yeah.
Am I right? So let's move on. Verse 14. He says, as one who is in the Lord Jesus, does that apply to anybody here? If you're in the Lord Jesus, he says, I am fully convinced, this is Paul, that no food is unclean in itself. You know what he's saying right here is like, I'm going to go to lunch and have me a BLT. I don't believe any food is unclean. You can eat whatever. We are released from the law. We are under Christ. Amen. But then he says this, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him, it is unclean, right? If you're walking around with this conviction, I better not eat this, then you need to honor it. We need to do this next board. We need to be true to our convictions, regardless of what other people are doing. Just because someone else is doing it, how many of you know the Lord may bring a conviction in your life that you're not supposed to do it? There's a reason behind that. It doesn't mean that you don't outgrow some of those convictions. There's things that I felt convicted about, and the more that I understood God and His Word and all of that, my convictions changed. Has anybody had convictions change? Not because you wanted to compromise. That happens as well. Well, my conviction has changed, you know. I used to think that shooting up drugs and drinking was bad, but now I'm all good with it, right? No, not because of compromise. But because God has given you a fuller understanding of His grace and mercy, amen?
Amen?
That's okay. But whatever your conviction is, we've got to stay with it. Listen, if you don't believe a Christian should go to the movie, then guess what?
Don't go.
Exactly. Don't go. Even if everybody else, even if your best buddies say, hey, listen, you got to come check out this movie. No, just stay true. If you believe wearing jewelry and makeup for a woman is wrong, don't wear it. You know what? Go all natural, right? Just go for it. If you believe watching TV is a sin, don't watch it. Get the TV out of there. If you believe a Christian should vote Republican, do it, right? Now, I'm going to go here. Don't throw anything at me. But if you believe a Christian should vote Democrat or Independent, do it, right? Right? So, and I know this may be earth-shaking to some people. And I told the first service I wasn't going to say it, but I'm saying it because it's going out on camera. But do you realize that there are some people that voted Democrat and still love God?
Whoa.
Right? Okay, I'm not going there. You're like, how? I don't understand. You don't have to understand. Right? You don't have to get inside their head. You follow what your conviction is. Honor and follow your conviction, whatever it is. Don't look down. Don't criticize. Don't gossip. Don't condemn someone else just because they have a different opinion. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Because it's just your opinion. Yeah. Amen. Now, let me give a balance point on this. Here it is right here. Don't consider your opinion as equal to Scripture. Just because you're an opinion, and just because you might even back up Scripture, even if you have to twist it just a little bit, your opinion is not Scripture. God's Word is God's Word. And sometimes we have an opinion, and we know we are right. God told me, well, listen, you're right for you. You don't have to push, and this the church has been guilty of this, trying to push our convictions and our opinions on everybody else. On the areas that are not, there are black and white areas that, yes, we need to stick to, but in these areas that are a little bit questionable, God has not called us to push that on other people. You can have discussions about it, but you don't have to guilt people. How many of you know there are some people with the gift of manipulation? You don't have to try to manipulate people to believe the way you do, twist it. Can I give you some examples? And whatever your opinion is, please don't throw anything at me. But today, I know it's Reformation Sunday, we were having the discussion, but what does the world, what does our nation basically see today as?
Halloween.
It's Halloween, right? And let me just say this, some Christians have very strong convictions that as a Christian, we need to avoid this day at all costs because it's the devil's day. Oh, man. But and you guys have heard us talk about it, and it's born out of paganism, right? There are evil things that are going to happen on this day, am I right? Yes, there are. But I don't believe the devil has any day. The Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. He didn't make just 364 days. He made 365 days, 0.4. Is that correct out of the year? Something to that effect. So every day belongs to God. And just because there are evil things that happen this day doesn't mean that we can't redeem the day. Remember what the scriptures, what the enemy meant for evil, God uses it for good. And so, yes, we're doing a trunk or treat. There are some churches that are adamant, don't do anything like that because it's horrible. You're doing all of these things. We're doing it. All the kids that are going to come tonight, they're going to get a presentation of the gospel. They're going to get literature that they can take home, and they're going to get a whole bunch of candy and a trip to the dentist. So basically what I'm saying is it's okay if you feel you can't do anything on this day because that's your conviction. It's okay. And it's okay if you feel like you can use this day to try to reach people, plant the gospel. Either way, we don't have to force our conviction on somebody else. We've been pastoring churches for a long time and have felt people, they didn't like what we were doing. They didn't think it was right. That's your opinion. I didn't try to convince them. I didn't twist their arm. I didn't tell them how silly they are. I've been told how silly I am. But anyway, let's move on. Here, the same thing is true about another holiday that's coming up soon, Christmas. Ever since, yeah, some of you guys like that. Some people don't. Let me just say this. Ever since I've been saved, I've heard Christians argue about Christmas because there's pagan roots in it, and it coincides almost with the winter solstice, right? Oh, there's all these evil things. There's all of these traditions. There's all of that stuff. I've heard that, but can I just say this about the winter solstice? It is not a pagan day. It is an astrological day. What do I mean by that? Like winter solstice, when the northern hemisphere, the pole is the furthest from the sun. That's all it is. Are there evil things that happen then? Of course there are. How many of you? Yeah, I heard every day there's evil things that happen. Summer solstice just means that the pole is closest to the sun. That's why it's so hot. I love the winter solstice. Amen? Because it's cool, and I love being cool. I don't like being hot. But here's the thing. For many Christians, it's the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, was Jesus born on December 25th?
No.
It's not even in the right season, right? So it is so far off, we don't know what day he was born, but honestly, any day is a good day to celebrate the birth of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen? We celebrate his resurrection from the dead. We also celebrate when he came. Nothing wrong with it. And so, like I said, whatever your view on what you should do, what you shouldn't do, there's nothing in the Bible that says, oh, you can't do this or you should do this when it concerns these holidays. Follow your conviction. I'm not going to twist your arm. You don't have to twist my arm. We can still love each other even though we don't agree. Amen? Amen. So here's the thing. You're thinking, okay, great. So I understand the black and white issues, but the gray areas, since I don't have, nobody can force their conviction on me, so I can do whatever I think is right. Yet, not so fast. What does it say in verse 15? If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do you realize your choice affects other people? The way I live my life actually affects other people. And so our number one priority, obviously, first is God, but our priority should be others first, not me. Not about me. Not about, you know, if your friend feels like watching TV is a sin and you invite him over to the house, don't flip on your TV. Right? How many of you know that'd be a little rude right there, right? If your personal decision brings harm to somebody else, then what we have done is we put our opinion over our brother and sister. My opinion matters more than that relationship. How many of you know that's not how we're supposed to live? Let me just say this. There's a lot of reasons I don't drink alcohol. First of all, I don't like the taste of it. But the main reason is that there are a lot of people that are serving Christ that are ex-alcoholics. Am I right? You don't have to raise your hand if that was you, but I don't do it because, listen, the addictions that they've gone through has lost them jobs, lost marriages, lost freedom, lost a lot of money. And if I drink and they see me drinking, it could cause distress and confusion. Like, oh man, well look, and not just because I'm the pastor, as a fellow believer in Christ, amen? And I would never choose a drink over my relationship with somebody else. Amen. We love people and desire them to walk in freedom. And so my opinion about alcohol doesn't matter when it concerns other people. Amen. Whatever I believe, the freedom of someone else should matter to you more than getting your way. Amen. So let's move on. Verse 16, do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. That was a little confusing to me, so I got it out of the New Living Translation, which is another translation. It says, then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. So if you're living your life being considerate of others, they're not going to look at your life and like, oh man, that sinner. Oh, I'm okay with it. I have the freedom in Christ. We need to live our lives so that other people aren't looking at us and feel like we're walking in compromise to the Scripture. So what the point on that is, don't create confusion or division in the church. This is so important. The key question is, if other people see my actions or see my decision, is it going to cause them to question the validity of their faith? What's it going to do? I mean, will it cause my friends to draw closer to Jesus because of my decision, or will it push people further away? If not, I mean, if it's pushing people away, I need to avoid it. Even if I feel like it's okay for me to do whatever that is, I need to realize I'm hurting other people. And then he says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God, it's not a matter of eating and drinking. Right? If we think that it's about eating and drinking, how many of you know we have put the faith test to the wrong thing? Your faith is not based off what you eat or what you drink. The kingdom of God is not a matter of vaccines and politics. Right? The kingdom of God is not about what kind of clothes you wear. The kingdom of God is not about your opinion. The kingdom of God is not what style of song. How many of you know churches have split because of the style of worship? That's the test. Oh, you don't really love God. You sing this song same time all the time, and our test of faith is not about what version of the Bible we use, right? It's not about our comfort. It's not about what I was used to. How many of you know sometimes people judge whether something's of God if it's like what they grew up in? This is not what I grew up in. This is not how I was raised. Who says what you were raised was right? Yeah? Who knows what? So we put the wrong test of faith. He says it's not about a matter of eating and drinking, but of what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the goal. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So listen, friends, we need to do this. We need to make every effort to promote peace and joy and to build each other up. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, how different would the church be if everybody that came in, that's my goal. I want to promote peace. I want to promote joy. I want to encourage and build each other up. Can you imagine how attractive that would be to those that don't know Christ? Man, every time I get around that person, I just feel the peace of God. I feel, well, they may not call it peace of God. I get good vibes, right? I don't know. If you're not a Christian, you don't know how I'd identify it. I just feel good being around them. We had an individual, when we were in Chico, we hosted international students. We had a teacher from China, so he was in his 30s, 30-something years old, never been to church in his life, but he came to church with us. probably only understood 10% of what was going on. But he said afterwards, he goes, I don't know what it was. It just felt so good. He goes, there was something here. And I'm just like, that's the Holy Spirit. Because nothing was connecting with his understanding, but he felt the presence of God. And so anytime anyone gets around you and they're feeling that peace, they're feeling joy, and they're feeling built up, wow. I don't think we could build a building big enough for that. Right? I don't think we could do it. If we would just follow that command, I believe that we would see the revival that the church in America has been praying for. Right? We're all praying for revival. Oh, God, we need revival. We need revival. If that's the case, let's start doing this. Let's start promoting peace. Let's start promoting joy. Let's start building others up. Our world would be different. How many of you, your social media would be different? If you made every effort to promote peace and joy and encourage others, some people wouldn't have anything to post anymore. Right? If that was my thing, I know, let me just move on. How different would it be at your work if that was your goal? I want to promote peace. I want to promote. How would it be at your family? Thanksgiving's coming, right? Don't raise your hand, but anybody ever have a fight at Thanksgiving or Christmas with family? A few hands are going up. What if you just went in there? The fights may happen, but what is it? As far as it depends on me, I'm going to come in there. I'm going to promote peace. I'm going to promote joy, and I'm going to try to build each other up. Amen? What about your testimony? What would be different in your testimony if that's how you lived? I mean, the point is, eat pork, don't eat pork, right? Go to church on Saturday, go on church on Sunday, get a vaccine, don't get a vaccine, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, go to the movie, don't go to a movie, but while we do it, let's make every effort to promote peace and joy and build each other up. Whatever your opinion may be on any of those things, let's do it. Let's make sure that we're reflecting Christ, amen? Let's make sure that when people see us, they see Jesus, right? I think sometimes people leave a church over a disagreement, and when they've done that, they've forgotten this command and elevated their opinion higher than relationship, right? They're not agreeing with me. It sometimes just amazes me why somebody leaves a church. Well, they put new carpet in, and they didn't go with my opinion. I wanted blue, and they put in red. I'm not even kidding. Silly things that we leave, you know, they didn't say hi to me, you know, they didn't notice that I got a new haircut, you know, I'm mad, I'm upset, silly things. Anyway, you know, Paul says, make every effort to lead to what leads to peace and mutual edification. And when you do this, verse 18, he says, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Peace with others and peace with the Lord. That's how, we're not supposed to be, oh, I'm at peace with God, but I'm antagonistic towards everybody else. That's not what God has called us to do. If that's a shock to you, I don't know. Verse 20, he says this, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Isn't that sad? I'm going to destroy the work that God is doing because I want to eat this or you shouldn't eat this. And that's happening even in the church today. I'm going to destroy the work of God because my opinion, my tradition, my thought process, my conviction is different than yours. So if you're not on board with me, forget what God is doing. How many churches have split over this? Come on. We've seen that happen. And so Paul goes on to say this a little bit more. He's like this, all food is clean. But it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Right? See, before he was talking about what your conviction, you need to follow your conviction, but I've got to realize that if I'm eating something and it's causing somebody else to stumble, I've got to be concerned with that. Right? Here's the thing. Don't just make choices based on your preference. Make them based on the needs of others. That's how we're supposed to live as a believer. How many of you know we are called the body of Christ? The body of Christ. Never let your choice matter more than somebody else's freedom. I'm just kind of laying it down here, right? If your choice causes someone to fall back into sin, can I tell you, your choice is wrong. If your choice, because you're, you know, I have the right to do that, but if it causes somebody that's in recovery to relapse, how many of you know you're going to stand before God for that? Well, I think I should be able to drink. I'm just having a glass of wine. But if you invite somebody over and they're recovering and you do that and they go back, woo. Now, I'm just going to say this. I know this kind of flies in the face of our American individualism. We say things like, I have my rights, you know. I just got to be me. I just got to do me, right? But I want to challenge that. Where is the scripture in the Bible that says I just have to be me? Yeah, it's not in there, is it? Philippians says this. It says our attitude, everybody say my attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, made himself nothing, became obedient even to the point of death and death on a cross. He was the Son of God, and he humbled himself. He could have had his rights. It's not right for you to murder me. Was it right for us to do that? For the Romans to do that? Listen, our sin did that. But he gave up his right. Our attitude should be like, there's no, I just have to be me in the Bible. When we give our life to Christ, we are giving up whatever rights or freedoms necessary in order to see our brothers and sisters keep from falling. Amen? We don't live in a vacuum. Friends, there are no rangers. Like I said, we are a family. We are the body of Christ. There is no, like, Assembly of God buildings up there. We are the body of Christ. There's not the Assembly of God body, the Baptist body, the Presbyterian body, the Methodist body. How many of you know we are one body? Yeah. One head. The scripture says we are being built into a spiritual house. And who's the cornerstone? Jesus is not the cornerstone of many different houses, is he? There's only one house. We're being built into his house. He's not being built into my house. I'm not putting him with me. I need to get with him, right? This stuff matters. I need to learn to put aside my opinions. And I know that that's hard because I like my opinion. I feel like my opinion's right. I'm just telling you. I'm being for real here. Verse 22, let's move on. The first part of it. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Do you know what that's saying right there? That's a very, in the Greek, that means shut up. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, it just means keep your mouth, be quiet, quit arguing, quit causing division and confusion amongst the church. Friends, listen, we have a world to win for Jesus. Isn't that more important? We need to see people come to know Christ. And listen, there's problems all around us, but we need to learn to stand in unity. And how many of you know the difference between unity and uniformity? Uniformity means we all look the same, we all act the same, we all believe the same, we all, you know, how many of you know that is impossible? But we can still walk in unity. That means we have some disagreements amongst us, and that's okay. Everybody doesn't have to be on my page, right? I mean, you would be better off if you were on my page. No, I'm just kidding, right? I'm just kidding, okay? So let's stop talking about it. Let's stop making an issue. Let's quit gossiping. Let's move forward and let's advance the kingdom of God. Amen. Quit allowing these things. That's what we're called to do. And Paul, he says, if we do that, look, he says, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. That is key. So what am I saying here? We need to be careful that my decisions and my choices don't destroy my testimony. How many of you know your decisions and choices can destroy your testimony? If you push that, if you're angry and you're pushing your opinion, people aren't going to listen to you anymore. What do you end up becoming? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? A clanging gong, right? I'm telling about Jesus. And you know what? I'm going to get way back here. All they're hearing is this. Right? I wish that was louder, but that hurts my fingers. So, you know, I told them they just didn't listen to me because maybe some of my decisions have already destroyed my testimony. Right? I got to recover. I got to start learning to love people. And it says that or harm my relationship with God. I want to read these verses, Romans 14, 22. I think it's in your notes out of the Message. And I know it's not King James, not even NIV, but I love the way that it says this. It says, cultivate your own. Everybody say own. Own. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. Ow, right? You're fortunate if your behavior and your beliefs are coherent. Then he goes on, if you're not sure, if you notice that you are acting in ways that are inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinions on others, other days trying to just please them, then you know that you are out of line. He says, if this is the way you live, if the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. I'm just like laying it out there, like I said. Listen, what we believe has got to make it from the church house to your house. You don't check it at the door. It's got to go from your heart to your mouth, right? By the way I live, by the way I act. And I know some of you may still be hoping for a list, but I don't have one. But I do want to give you something, and you can pick it up on your way out. Is that, he's got them back there. And this is not a list, but it is 10 questions. It is not the Bible. I'm not saying this thing is holy, anointed, but I think it's some questions that we can ask ourselves when we come in contact with these gray areas of life. When I come into these things where the Scripture isn't completely clear on what I should do or what I shouldn't do, these are good things to go over. So I'm going to go over with them, and then you can pick that up at the end. The questions to guide decisions, how does this make me feel? Not feel good or feel bad about it, but does it make you feel any kind of a sinful thoughts or feeling? Are you doing some activity that you know you shouldn't be doing? And it's like, okay, you know, I don't really feel good about that. You know, that's the Holy Spirit leading there. If you're not feeling good about it and you're feeling that check in your spirit, we need to listen to it. Not like, well, it's not right. I saw so-and-so do it. I saw brother so-and-so doing it. No, what is it making you feel like? What's going on the inside? The second one, does this increase my desire to do wrong? Here's the thing. It may not technically be wrong, but if it increases a desire within you, how many of you know we need to avoid it? Right? We need to get away from it. Let me tell you, when I was in high school, I was the assistant manager at a movie theater. Nothing sinful about that, unless you think movies are sinful, but some of them are. But anyway, nothing sinful about that. But here's the thing. This is what we would do, and I've shared this with some of you guys. Every Thursday night, we would get all of the new movies that were going to be released on Friday, and we would stay till everybody was gone. We'd have a midnight showing of these movies, and just with the employees, we would be bringing out the beer and all of that stuff would get wasted. So being the assistant manager of the movie wasn't a sinful thing, but what it did, it increased my desire to do wrong. I kept getting in that environment. I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then the next week, I would do it again. Right? Anybody ever been on that roller coaster? To eventually, where I had to resign my position, which was for an 18-year-old, I'm the assistant manager. I mean, I was like, I'm so important, right? Maybe it led to pride too, I don't know. But I resigned that job. I ended up taking a graveyard shift at a hospital stuffing bedpans. Yeah, that's fun. There was nothing glamorous. There was no one there. There was no parties there. I can guarantee that. But for me, the decision to stay at the movie theater was not a good decision for me. It kept pulling me back and right. Maybe it would be okay with you. That's okay. That's why I don't have to push my opinion. Oh, you work at a movie theater? How sinful of you. Right? No, it was bad for me. It was a good, bad decision for me. Number three, Tony. Right? People are watching you. How many of you know people are watching you? Whether you know it or not. And does your actions, does it cause people to draw closer to Jesus or does it push them away? How many of you know we need to think about that? The next one, what do my spiritual authorities say? Let me just say this right here. Ask people that are spiritually over you that have some type of spiritual authority in your life. And I want to share with you a verse because this has become a verse that the American church no longer decides is important. Nobody can tell me nothing. Who do you think you are, right? And they've disregarded this, but listen, I'm just telling you, this is a command in Scripture. I'm not on a power trip here. You better go through me. No, I'm not on that, but you should be able to seek advice from those that are over you, amen? What is the verse? Hebrews 13, 17. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. I don't know if you know this or not, but I take that serious. I know my wife takes that serious. I'm accountable to God of what I say to you guys and even who I allow in this pulpit to talk. I mean, I've heard people, oh, you just let that bad person. I don't know that person, so I'm not letting them in the pulpit because I'm accountable to God for the things that come out of this church. Amen? And he says, give them a reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. Let me just be real with you. There are a lot of people that allow me to do this with joy, but let me just tell you, there's some of these guys too. That will certainly not be for your benefit. So what are those that are in authority to me? What do they say? Number five, what are the consequences of this activity? Listen, friends, we need to think about things long-term and short-term. How many of you know, if I would have just thought about the decision I made way back when and thought about the short-term and long-term, there would have been a lot of things I would have avoided. Right? You had more money, right? There's a lot of, this is such just practical stuff that we need to do. Number six, what are others like who do this? So whatever activity you're talking about, what are they like? Are they reflecting Christ or not? You know what? That's an important thing to consider. Number seven, will this cause confusion or harm to fellow believers? Again, going back to that stumbling block, if I decide to do this, how is it going to affect other people? And if your answer is this, it's none of their business, I'm doing my own life, how many of you know you're not acting out of love? We need to be concerned about that. Number eight, what would Jesus do? How many of you remember the WWJD bracelets, right? They kind of caused a rash on your arm eventually. And we would ask, what would Jesus do? And you know what? I think sometimes we took off the bracelet and we stopped asking the question. But I think it's still a good question. I know it's like, you know, oh, WWJD, right? But it's a good thing to think, what would Jesus do in this situation? What am I going to do? Number nine. Well, that was number eight. Number nine, who does it help and who does it hurt? With the decisions I'm making, is it helping somebody or is it hurting somebody? We got to think about those things. And number 10, are there principles in God's Word that apply to this decision? Because even though it may not directly be in God's Word, how many of you know most of the things that we do have something in God's Word? I'm glad I'm almost done because I can feel my voice going. Here's the thing. If we want to see things change in our world, right? How many of you know we tried to change the governor? How many of you know it didn't work? I don't know if you realize this, but politics is not going to work. The Roman Empire didn't change from being this anti-Christian, killing Christians in the Colosseums because of the politics. They voted in a new emperor. No, it changed by the church doing exactly what I'm talking about here today. Because the people chose to love one another and began to love others that weren't Christians. And all of that is what began and took down this Roman Empire. God has called us to change the world. And I believe as a church, we are at a crossroads. I believe we're at a very pivotal time in the church. Are we going to change the world with the power and the love of Jesus? Or are we going to fight for our preferences and our opinion? Amen? Are we going to lead with our opinions or are we going to lead with the love of Christ? I think we need to think about that. And I can just say this, a large part of the American church is failing at this. I don't throw this as condemnation. It grieves my heart when I see what people are doing. I see more arguments and fights about vaccines and masks than I do about people telling others about Jesus. My brothers and sisters, it shouldn't be that way. Because ultimately our task is not to convince others that my opinion is right. You know what our task is? To tell the world about Jesus. What am I going to do? Oh, people don't agree with me. I don't care if people agree. I'm still going to point to Jesus. I'm not going to allow my opinion to be a hindrance for them to come to know Jesus. So you don't see a lot of my opinions, even though I got them. I got just as many as you got. But I know what my number one priority is. Amen? Can I have everybody stand? Because when I say I feel like we're at a crossroads, I really feel like we are, church. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to fight for me? Oh, I want this. I want that. Listen, I'm devastated by some of the things that I see in our world as well. Things that are going on in our school, in our government, attitudes. But I know I'm not going to change them by being angry and pushing my opinion. But I know the one that can. I know the one that if I will submit my life to God 100% and say, God, let me show me how to love that turkey that doesn't love you, right? Help me to love that person that has this horrible view of what Christians are. Help me know how to build them up, how to encourage them. How to speak God's truth, not in a condemning way, but in a way that Jesus spoke to them. Lord, we want to reflect you. Lord, we're here today and we say, we look at our nation, we look at our world, and we're like, God, I don't know what to do. Lord, I can't change it the way I want to. Lord, you said that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are not of this earth, but Lord God, they are mighty in you. Lord God, to the pulling down of strongholds, to the pulling down of false arguments, and Lord God, let us yield your weapons, and Lord God, not ours. Lord, convict us. Lord God, let us put down our weapons of opinion and pushing that, Lord God. And Father, let us reflect Jesus more. Let us love those, Lord God, that are not like us. Lord God, let us love those that you died for. Lord, there's not a person on this earth that you did not give your life for. Lord, as angry and as mean and out twisted as they may be, Lord God, you still love them. And Father, I'm just saying for your church, not just Freedom Church, but Lord God, as your church, Lord God, we want to shine Jesus. There are gray areas that are there. Lord God, let me hear from your voice on that. But Lord God, let that not become the issue. Let me not that become the issue. But Lord God, let us shine you in all ways. In all the things that we do, Lord, we thank you. Lord, as we commit this time, we just want to thank you. Lord, we're asking tonight over this trunk or treat time, Lord, we're asking that you would bring in families, bring in kids, Lord God, that need to hear your gospel. And Lord, each car, each whatever, our bus, Lord, whatever it is, Lord God, I just pray that the people that are coming, Lord God, help us see past just giving out candy, but Lord God, to see the hearts of the people that are there. And show the love of Jesus in the way that only you can. Shine through us this afternoon, this evening. And Lord, we just commit this time in Jesus' name. Amen.